Well, there are about 4,000, rather more than 4,000 different religions and faith groups throughout the world. According to the Pew Research Center, approximately 85% of the whole population on this planet identify with a religious group. The most widely recognized religions, as you would know, that is Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism. These are the most recognized religions, but there are so many various subgroups within Indian religions, Eastern Asian religions. There are many folk religion groups. There are so many cults around the world, and there are many others. There are numerous religions and faith groups in the world because it is inherent in human nature to worship someone or something. All human beings have a void or a vacuum in their hearts that can only be filled through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ alone. However, we see millions of people around the world attempt to fill that void, fill that gap, the gap in their heart by following different religious rituals or traditions. Or maybe they want to appease the God they follow. Some worship more sophisticated idols, for instance, wealth, drugs, sex, comfort, power, or you can name it. They do this by worshiping creation. The God has created this beautiful creation, and some of them, they worship God's creation. Some of them, they worship different other gods made up of their own hands. And all of them, they try their level best to fill the void within their hearts. In Acts chapter 14, we have just read these verses from 8 to 20. We learn about a group of people in a place called Lystra, who fill their spiritual vacuum, so to speak, by following their religious and cultural traditions. Lystra was a place, it was situated not very far from Antioch and Iconium, that we learned about it in chapter 13 a couple of weeks ago. It is modern-day Turkey, eastern side of modern-day Turkey, where this place was situated. And we see that during this time when the apostles were there, God did a supernatural work. God met with these people in a supernatural way through the apostles and through doing this miracle that we will talk in a moment. As Pastor Allen has already said, that today's message is the continuation of our series called Sermons That Shook the Society from the Book of Acts. In our previous message in this series, we met the Apostle Paul and Barnabas in the city of Antioch, Pisidia. Paul preached in the synagogue, we learned in this chapter, and gave them a history lesson. When speaking to the Jews in the previous chapter, Paul challenged their understanding of their history by emphasizing how the God of their ancestors led them from Egypt to the promised land, and how he now leads them through the promised Messiah. In today's message, we will see that Paul took a different approach when he was speaking to this group of Gentiles, and here Paul focused on the shaking their idolatry, shaking the idols that they were worshiping. He was going to shake that. In this chapter, we will see that living God met with this group in a unique way. He healed this crippled man, but unfortunately, rather than worshiping the God of this creation, those group of people in Lystra, they started worshiping the messengers of God. We will look into this passage under three main points. The first one we will look at is the manifestation of God's mercy. Secondly, we will see the misinterpretation of God's mercy. And thirdly, we will see the message of God's mercy. So let's look at into your Bible from verses 8 onwards, and here we will be looking at the manifestation of God's mercy. In verse 8, we will just read it again. Now at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. So in this verse, we see that Luke introduces an unnamed man who had been crippled from his birth. He never walked. Luke highlights this man's hopelessness by stating this three times. He says he could not use his feet. He was impotent in his feet. He was crippled from birth. And he had never walked. This man had been crippled since his birth and was likely to be recognized by other people in the town. Probably he was a beggar sitting in the town center where others could see him as well. And because he was crippled from his birth, probably others knew that this is the guy, he has been sitting there asking for money, and he has been there for a long time. As the man listened to the message of Apostle Paul, he was convicted in his heart by the Holy Spirit. I want you to look in verse 9. Here, the word of God says, he listened to Paul speaking, and Paul looking intently at him, and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he sprang up and began walking. We see in these verses that the manifestation of God's mercy that was shown not only through the message that Paul spoke to these people, but also God did this miracle. This man who was not able to walk from since ever his birth, but God raised this man up. We see the hand of God healing this impotent man who never walked. And God displayed his power through the Apostle Paul and validated his message and his ministry. In the Gospels, we read that a similar pattern in the ministry of Jesus Christ, who healed people to fulfill messianic prophecies, and also that the name of God may be glorified through those miracles. We also see in these verses that Luke explains that this man jumped up and walks around when Paul shouted to stand up. It demonstrated the effectiveness of the healing. It demonstrated that the man who never walked before was now able to leap and walk around. After seeing this miracle, the people of Lystra, they got quite excited, as naturally you could think of that, thinking about this man who never ever walked in his life, and now he was able to walk. Even he was able to jump. So people got quite excited after seeing this miracle in front of their eyes. They probably wanted to thank Paul and Barnabas for this miracle. The people of Lystra were sincerely wrong in the way they wanted to thank Paul. They were theologically confused. They misinterpreted God's mercy. They misinterpreted the power of God that was shown through this miracle. We see the same pattern even today when individuals who are attracted to miracles, people who love to see signs and wonders, they chase up after so-called miracles, encounters, but they fail to seek the one true living God. They fail to see and understand the message of the gospel. We see in this miracle that the people, they saw the message, they saw the miracle, they heard the message from Apostle Paul, but they failed to see the truth of the message. They failed to see the manifestation of God's mercy, that what was God doing in that situation. Rather than praising the living God, rather than thanking God for what he has done in the life of this man, they started praising the apostles. In the following verses, we will see that that people they misinterpreted this miracle and how the apostles, they responded to that. So in second point, we will think about the verses here in verses 11 to 13, and we will reflect on that. Here we see the misinterpretation of God's mercy. As if we just read in verse 11, and when the crowd saw that Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lyconian, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Barnabas they called Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. We see that they thought that Paul and Barnabas were gods because they had the power to heal. They thought that Paul had performed this miracle on his own power. And Paul and Barnabas, they called them as their own gods. The people, they were excited. They spread the news maybe around the town. And we see that their priest who came over and he wanted to sacrifice an oxen just to praise the miracle that Paul and Barnabas has done. They called Paul Hermes, and because he was the main speaker, and they called Barnabas the Zeus, probably because of his appearance and because of he was a dignified man. They were given these names because, according to a local legend, these pagan gods, Zeus and Hermes, have visited the neighboring town in the past. And this was their belief, that these gods have visited their this place before. And they believed that Zeus and Hermes visited the local community, and they came there, and no one was there to take care of them. People did not respect them. People did not honor them. And they got so upset about it. But there was one couple who took care of them, who provided food for them, who gave them the place to stay. And because of that, those gods, Zeus and Hermes, they spared that couple. However, the whole town was wiped out because they did not take care of those gods. In this case, they wanted to help and honor Paul and Barnabas, what they have done, because they considered that these Zeus and the Hermes came back to our town, and now this is our chance to show our respect to them, to provide them with food, to take care of them, and provide their needs as well. They started this preparation to sacrifice oxen to thank them. Look at with me in verse 13. And the priests of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. According to their religious rituals, they wanted to honor their divine gods. These people wanted to follow their religious traditions, but they were theologically confused. When the message was shared by Paul, they missed the point of that message. They were so keen to follow their religious traditions that they were blinded, and they were not able to understand when the gospel was presented to them. This action by the Lystran people illustrates how following a religion or a set of rules can blind human eyes. Those who follow religious traditions want to satisfy their hearts by thinking They have done something to make their gods happy. Like the residents of Lystra, there are millions and millions of people on this earth. They are seeking to fulfill fulfillment through worshiping their gods or engaging in religious practices to satisfy their spiritual needs. There may be people in your families, in my families, maybe our work colleagues who like to follow religious traditions and rituals. How do we share the gospel with them? Do we explain the gospel in love and in truth, or do we compromise because we are worried that they might get offended? In our text, Apostle Paul gave them a clear message. In verses 14 to 20, we will spend some time now. We will see that he did not shy away from addressing the root cause of the problem, and he shared the good news with them, and he told them what is the problem. Let's look at these verses 14 to 20. And now this is our third point, the message of God's mercy. In verse 14, "But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, 'Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them.'" First of all, we see that the apostles grieved over their actions. They tore their garments, which was a Jewish way of expressing their reaction to blasphemy against God. It shows great displeasure. It shows great emotional pain that these apostles went through. When the apostles saw and understood their motives, what they were planning to do, what they were the preparation that they were doing, they were grieved because of their actions. They were grieved that these men were honoring them and paying tribute to them rather than to the living God. Like the apostles, when we see others worshiping idols, it should grieve our hearts as well. We should be provoked by our hearts. It should cause us to do something about this, to pray for them maybe, or to ask God to provide an opportunity to share the gospel with them. We read that the apostles were grieved because of their actions, and they did something about it. They did not just leave it there, but they did something about this. We see in verse 15, the apostles call them to repentance. They ask them, "Men, why are you trying to offer these sacrifices to us? We are not gods or deities. We are human beings like you are." They probably tore their garments to show that they have flesh and blood like them, and they are not deities or not gods as they thought about it. And they gave them the good news. The apostles called them to repentance by turning their attention to the living God. And we see in verse 15, the second part of verse 15, it says that, "And we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." By this, apostles were referring to their acts of giving sacrifice of those ox to Zeus and Hermes. They were emphasizing that this act, what you are doing, the religious tradition that you follow, this is all vain. In these verses, we see that apostles also provide a wonderful description of repentance and belief. We see that first they ask them to repent. First, they ask them to turn from useless things, which is repentance. And secondly, they ask them to turn to the living God. And this is what the biblical salvation is. It is the transformation from turning away from the vain things and turning to the living God. If we examine religions worldwide, all of them promote salvation through works. And what I mean by this, that they encourage people or ask people that they need to do something in order to get God's favor in their life. On the contrary, we see that the gospel message teaches us that Christ has appeased and satisfied the wrath of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was cursed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. Christ has taken our shame. He has taken our guilt and the sin upon himself, and we do not need to perform any ritual works to earn God's favor in our lives. We do not need any practices and traditions to seek God's favor based on our works. The truth is that all our righteous works are just filthy rags in front of the Creator God. And we cannot do enough good deeds or good works to earn favor from God based on our works. It is also important to recognize that the shed blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for our salvation. We need to trust alone in his blood for our salvation. We cannot add Jesus as another God on our list. For true salvation, we need to trust in him alone as our Lord and as our Savior. In these verses, we see that Paul fearlessly, but in love, condemns their pagan worship. He called their pagan gods vanities. Instead of giving them a diplomatic answer, he gave them the straight answer and turned their attention to the true and living God. Look at with me in verse 16. Paul says to them, in past generations he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. And here we see that Apostle Paul shares with them the goodness of God. He tells them that in past generation God allowed simply means that God permitted them or left them to walk in their own ways. In other words, in the past generations, God gave a revelation to the people. But when they rejected God's revelation, he left them alone. When people rejected God and God moved away from them, but in doing so, he did not leave them utterly by themselves. In verse 17, God let them walk in their ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without a witness, meaning that God was there, his presence was there, and he showed his presence, his mercifulness, by providing for them. Even they rejected God, but God gave them rain and fruitful seasons to satisfy their hearts with food and gladness. The living God is the God of compassion and mercy. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." So, what should be the response of human beings towards God, who supplies their needs and satisfies their hearts? What should be their response? The people should worship him and exalt his name on high, but instead of worshiping the Creator, they worship his creation. And we see in verse 18 that even with these words, they sarcastically restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. In other words, even though Apostle Paul explained it to them, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, and they have seen the demonstration or the manifestation of God's mercy, but still they chose to do what they knew from their religious traditions. Even after witnessing God's miracle, the people wanted to continue with their offering. Instead of repentance, they continued following their religious tradition. It is sad to see, but in the world we see exactly the same thing. At times when people they hear the gospel, they hear the goodness of God, and they know that God is so good in their lives as well, but they keep on doing what they thought is right in terms of following their religious traditions, in terms of following the vain things in their life, and they do not ask for repentance from God. If you are here this evening, I don't know, Pastor Allen earlier asked if you have a story. I don't know if you have a story where you can tell how Christ, that you believe in your heart that Christ has died for your sins and you have put your faith in him alone. I don't know if you have a story where you can say that, yes, I know Jesus as my personal Savior alone, and I do not believe or I do not trust in any other tradition or in any other thing other than Christ alone. Unfortunately, these people in Lystra, they heard the message, they saw it in front of their eyes, but still they decided to follow their human tradition. In verses 19 and 20, we read that the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came to Lystra. They persuaded the crowds and they stoned Paul as a false prophet and left him for dead. We also read in these verses that, but the disciples probably from Lystra, they surrounded Paul and helped him to stand, and he entered the city. And we see miracle of God in life, in the life of Paul as well. In this situation, he was stoned to, and the Jews probably, they thought that Paul is dead. They left him out of the city. But Even in this situation, that God worked in his life as well. And Paul stood up and he started the same work again. In this passage, we see the example of Paul and Barnabas faithfully and fervently preaching the good news. Their purpose was to bring these people, the transformation to these people, by shaking their idolatry and connected them to the one living God. However, there was opposition. People were against them. They were willing to stone them, to kill them. Like the apostles, we are given the responsibility to lead others, others to Christ, to help them to connect to Christ by sharing the gospel with them and helping them that they can to shake idolatry in their life as well. Even if we face opposition the way the apostles faced opposition, even things can be difficult in our lives as things were difficult in their lives, but we find comfort in reading this chapter that God was with them, that by throughout this difficult journey, the Holy Spirit of God was with them. We know that the same Holy Spirit, the same power, you and I, we have as well today. God is the same today as he was with Paul and Barnabas. As he gave them the ability, God has given us the ability as well. But are we willing to share the gospel? Are we willing to work and do the work of God in our lives? As believers, we must be busy in sharing the good news and helping others to break the bondage of idolatry in their lives. Let's pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the lives of Paul and Barnabas and their commitment to shake the idols in those people's life and in so many in other places on their missionary journeys. Father Lord, please help us to fully grasp the truths that we have in this chapter. Please stir our hearts to share the gospel with others. Please help us that we may remember that the principles of sharing the good news remains the same, and the power of the Holy Spirit remains the same as well. Lord, please use us for your honor and glory, and teach us and help us to serve you with the same commitment, energy, courage, and dedication as the apostles served you in the early New Testament church. We ask this in Jesus' mighty and strong name. Amen.